Our scripture reading for this morning is from the letter of 1 Peter, the second chapter. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Last weekend, I attended and participated in a 10K race up in Minneapolis. My son-in-law wanted me to be in it. He's quite a dedicated runner, trains all the time, and has constantly improved his time in things. He's very fixed on his goal of hoping to win the race, and you can tell that by his preparation and everything else. There were other people in participating in the race, thousands of people. There were others there you could tell clearly were not quite as serious about it. One guy came dressed entirely as the Incredible Hulk and had painted his entire body, face, and everything in green and had a big green wig on. And I saw him a couple times in the race. He was one of the very few people that ended up behind me. My son-in-law, on the other hand, was very dedicated to running, ended up with his personal best, and finished, out of thousands of runners, finished in the top 90, which was very good. Quite often the Bible you will use imagery of a race or a journey and being fixed on a goal for us when it comes to our Christian lives. And in the text before us, we have that same concept of being a sojourner, a traveler, fixed on a destination. And God would have us remember three things. First of all, take seriously the true purpose and the final destination of your life. Take that seriously. Martin Luther once said, commenting on this text from 1 Peter, as if you are a traveler in the world, like someone in his day that would stop at hotels and things. He says, take your walking stick out of this strange land and out of this evil, unsafe hotel and walk with it into the true homeland of heaven. If a traveler, if someone who's heading towards something is truly focused on his or her destination, they aren't going to want to dawdle around on their trip. They want to take it seriously. It's as if Peter is telling us in our text today, keep the big picture of what your life is really heading for and what you're really all about, what your real purpose is with your life. God, because of giving you faith in Christ, has made you a heavenly citizen, and that's where you belong, and that's where you're heading. Keep that as the focus and the attention of your life. And the more quickly and the more vividly that you come to grips with what your life is really about and what the focus of your life needs to be about, the faster and the tighter you will embrace Christ and taking this faith seriously. Now, St. Peter warns us about things that will get in our way. He calls them fleshly lusts that war against the soul. And you know this in your own life, as do I. Whatever those things may be, when you are pursuing the fleshly lusts of this world, whether that's sexual sin or just material things of this life, whatever it is, when you are pursuing those, Christ diminishes. Christ begins to dissolve into the background so that you hardly focus on him anymore. You don't care anymore as much about his word and his sacraments or worship. Those are the types of things that cause us to lose our focus on what our true purpose and destination is in this life. And the Holy Spirit knows and realizes these are a true threat to believers in Christ. That's why he has to consistently throughout Scripture have the authors of Scripture pen these types of words to us. And God would have us bring these things, these sins that trouble us and trip us up on this path, he would have us bring these things before the cross in true repentance and to again be cleansed by the blood of Christ and his grace. Now, the second thing that we can find from this text that God would have us understand is this, to remember that the unbelieving world is always observing those who follow Christ. He says, have your conduct be honorable among the Gentiles, a way of referring to unbelievers. Just like the pagan centurion, Roman centurion at the foot of the cross, After watching and listening to Christ and how he spoke so gently to the thief and everything else that occurred in that incident, finally said as he beat his breast at Christ's death, "Surely this was a righteous man." Early tradition in the church tells us that he converted to Christianity. You see a similar response oftentimes too to how believers themselves face difficulties and troubles. Justin Martyr, who was a second century convert to Christianity, he converted in his adulthood. He attributed his conversion to Christ to the fact that he had observed so many Christians and how they lived their lives so decently and wonderfully, and also how they were so willing to die. This is what he wrote about this. He says, "When I heard the Christians accused and saw them fearless of death and of everything else that is counted fearful, I was sure they could not be living in wickedness." This morning I sent out a post that I asked you to read if you had a chance. Maybe you haven't had that chance yet. I would encourage you to read it when you get back from chapel. It's by an Arab Christian. He had two brothers recently beheaded due to ISIS in Libya. And during a television interview, he was asked by a reporter how his mother, a fellow Christian, how she was handling this. And this is what he said. I'll just read this one sentence from that interview. He says, "Today I was having a chat with my mother, asking her what she would do if she saw one of ISIS members on the street. She said she would invite him home because they helped us enter the kingdom of heaven." That's awesome. Now, a couple weeks ago, I was listening to a sports radio program up in the cities, and because of her comment, one of the sports announcers, had nothing to do with sports, of course, was commenting about this depth of forgiveness and this depth and this power of this love that this woman had. And he said, "She is operating on a different level of religion than I will ever understand." A Cambridge theologian at the turn of the century, a guy by the name of J. Rawson Lumbey, said this. Listen to this quotation. "By returning good for their evil, make them see at length that this way of life which they are attacking, which is Christ and the gospel, has a character and a power which they cannot fathom." That's a great statement. The gospel has a character and a power that the unbelieving world just can't come to grips with. The third thing is this: God looks forward to hearing praise even from the lips of unbelievers on the day of visitation regarding your life as his child. He wants you to understand that your life before people is a testimony to the gospel. Even how you serve at your job, even how you act as a citizen of this country and how you obey the laws of the land, all of that is a reflection back to the world of the wonderful power of the cross. And in our lives then, we hold the cross before the world. We hold its power, its love, its life-giving nature, the fact that it is full and complete forgiveness, and the fact that it is able to conquer all evil in this world. It is a divine love that rises above anything else this world has. And so as you, with distinct purpose and destination in your life toward heaven because of God's grace, as you walk on that path and travel toward your destination, lift high the cross. Amen.